While some view God as mysterious and unknown, the birth of Jesus put flesh and bones on him. For the first time in history, God walked among us. He had a face we could see and a smile we respond to. He drew breath into his lungs from the same air we do, and his heart beat within his chest just like ours. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll helps us understand how the birth of Jesus allowed us to see, touch, and understand God as never before. He was and is the perfect personification of the truth.
I don't know of anything that will give you the security you need like God's Word and the Son of God Himself. I just stay committed to this book, and I have learned by doing so, I learn more and more what's true. And I also learn that what often is embraced by even the majority isn't true at all. And the more I learn of the truth, the greater difference it makes in my life. In fact, look at the second statement. You will know the truth, verse 32, and what? The truth will set you free. What do we want just about more than anything else? We want freedom. What a great promise that is. I think what it means is you will learn the true values, the real values of life. Your priorities will be set correctly. What is important and what is not, you'll be able to put the list together. And the longer you walk with Christ, many of you could testify of this, the clearer your list gets. By list, I mean those things that you know are true and the things that you know are false, based on what Jesus teaches. You see the value of the Bible? It becomes the standard. It's the gate that opens to the world of freedom. Some examples: freedom from fear, freedom from self, self-importance, and self-will. And the freedom to know myself is a part of knowing the truth. Here's another: I'm free from others, others' expectations, others' opinions. I am free from sin that it could dominate me. Before I knew Christ, I had no freedom from sin. It was the master over me. Read Romans 6 and into Romans 7. You'll see the picture. Sin no longer is master over you. And when the Lord tells us the truth about it, we are thrilled. And by the way, I could have even added Satan. I hear the strangest stuff about the devil. And I often say, as a result of hearing these erroneous comments, they don't know what they're talking about. The scriptures present the devil as he really is. And the more truth you learn about Lucifer, the enemy, the less suspicions you have. And traditional ideas are driven away. And you pick up comments and you say right away, that's not true. He's not able to do that. You don't have to have that fear. He isn't going to invade heaven. He has his limitations. Greater is he that's in you than he who is in the world. And so the truth allows that kind of discernment. One other passage in John 14, and it's important we look at this one because it has to do with a promise Jesus gave. And by the way, because he's truthful, he will keep his promise. He's with his 11 faithful disciples. Judas has gone out into the night with plans to betray him. And the 11 are left, and Jesus is telling them about his plan to be arrested and to be crucified and nailed to a cross, and that he would be raised. And all of this is confusing to the disciples. They didn't hear much of what he said. So he says to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. How could he say that? Because he's trustworthy. That's what the word aletheia, the Greek word, means, to be trustworthy, to be reliable. Trust in me because I'm trustworthy. I've never told you anything that isn't true. I've never promised anything that I won't fulfill. I've never made one comment that had even a hint of deceit in it. Trust me. So I'm telling you, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The way I'm going, and you know how I'm going to get there. You're all familiar with that. Now, before I go further, please notice what he tells us about heaven. Heaven is an actual place. In heaven, there will be room for all of us who know Jesus. Third, each one of us will have a special place prepared for us. It won't be a mansion. Get that out of your mind. There's a song, "There's a mansion over the hilltop." There's no hilltop and there's no mansion. So I just messed up a great old country song, I know. But there's no stars and crowns. Will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? There's no stars in the crown. There are crowns, but we'll cast them before our Lord. How do I know that? Because I've studied the book of truth, which tells me of the crowns, specifies them, tells me what we will do with them when we get to heaven. I'm not bright. I'm not as bright as many, but I read and I believe what I read. And when I read and did a study on the crowns, I discovered there are no stars in crowns. So the song is wrong. Shoot. I finally memorized all the words, and I got to forget them because there's no stars in the crown. But there are going to be crowns in heaven. And there's a place for every one of us. And look at it. When I'm ready, I'm going to come get you. Critics say, how can you believe in a Jesus after all this time? Because he said he would come. If he says he's going to come, he's not lying. He's going to come. He just doesn't tell us when. So I wait and I wait. It may be in my lifetime. It may be beyond my lifetime. Same with you. And I also read that he knows where he's going, and we know the way. Now, this is a great point for you to notice in verse 5. All of a sudden, Thomas can stay quiet no longer. Lord, no. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? You think, how could a person talk like that to Jesus? Because it's easy to talk to someone when you're in the realm of truth. He knew Thomas's heart. Thomas wasn't trying to be ugly. He's just confused. There's a real difference. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. All we've heard up until now is you're with us. We're going to be together. You're going to set up a kingdom. We're going to be a part of it. And now you're telling us you're leaving. There's going to be a cross. You're going to die. Something about a resurrection. What is all of this about? We don't know the way. May I interject here just for you who struggle with being this honest before God? Please be honest before God. Just give him your heart and tell him. Tell him you're struggling here, that you don't understand why it was your child and not someone else's child. Why it was your wife or your husband and not someone else's spouse. Why it was this diagnosis and not that. And why this took place and what you had planned on didn't. Just tell him. Tell him you don't get it. And you will not find one word of rebuke. How do I know that? There's none here. Jesus doesn't look at Thomas and go, well, Thomas, after all this time, and you're still asking the simplest question. He doesn't do that. He says, in effect, that's a good question, Thomas. Let me help you know something. Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. Now, some of you who've been raised to think critically are thinking, well, that's pretty exclusive. Yeah. How about when you're going to go on an airplane and you call the gal and you make your appointment and she says to you, you can choose gate 3, 4, 6, 8. I like the number 9. You might try gate 9 and it may shove off at 12, 12, 15. Matter of fact, I saw a plane leave at 12:30 the other day. Or it could be 1:15, actually. You go, what? What do you want? You want an exact number. Gate 4 at 12:46. Show up. Or they're shoving off without you. Why? Because you like it specific until it comes to salvation. Then all of a sudden, we get real cute. Like, we know a better plan than that. Jesus isn't the only way. Really, you know a better way? You can defend that? No, you can't. So let's stay with what he said because he tells the truth. Yeah, I thought of a good illustration of this because he doesn't say, I'll show you the way. He says, I am the way. There's a difference. Let's say it's years ago, there weren't GPSs and all the electronic gizmos. All you had were addresses and you're in your car and you're lost in this strange city and you can't find your way and you pull over and here's a guy standing here at the bus stop and you say, hey, can you help me with something? He says, sure. We're trying to find 608 Elm Street. Can you? Yeah, that's easy. Go down 2 lights and take a right. Go 3 blocks. You'll see a church on the left. Take a left. You'll come to a fork in the road, bear to the right. You go over a bridge, the second light after the bridge, take a left, and you go, wait, stop. I can't follow all this. And he says, tell you what, I'll drive you. And he gets in the car, and he becomes the way to your destination. When Jesus spent his life and went to the cross, died and rose, he got in your car. And he said to you, I'm the way. Come with me. You know what? I'm just simple enough to believe it. Meryl Tenney said it best. Get this. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. Isn't that a great statement? He's all the above, and each one with a definite article. He's not a way along with this God and that God and this great idea and that philosophy. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He says so. It's right here. Now, you know, all of a sudden, my heart kind of goes out to some of you who came today sort of expecting a little sermonette on a baby in a manger. Now, I believed all my Christian life that sermonettes are for Christianettes. And because I speak to full-grown Christians or growing Christians, you deserve more than just a baby in a manger. And I love the baby in the manger. But that's not all. Everybody wants to stop there. Christmas is always about just a baby. No. That's when humanity became deity. Deity became humanity. And he grew up. And he became a man that called disciples. And they followed him and he taught the truth. And he lived the truth, and he died for the truth. And he said in his dying, if you will trust in me, I'll take over the controls of your life. And I will lead you in a way that you could never find on your own. And when I get you there, you'll be safe forever. Guess what? I'm telling you the truth. How good is that? That's great. I was reading this past week of a man who had been on a search for the real Jesus. And listen to what he found. The Jesus I found bore little resemblance to the Mr. Rogers I had met in Sunday school. For one thing, he was far less tame. I learned that other people affected Jesus deeply. Obstinacy frustrated him. Self-righteousness infuriated him. Simple faith thrilled him. He seemed more emotional and spontaneous than the average person, not less. More passionate, not less. The more I studied the real Jesus, the more difficult it became to pigeonhole him. Listen to this. He said little about the Roman occupation, which was the main topic of conversation among all of his countrymen. And yet he took up a whip to drive out petty profiteers from the temple. He urged obedience to the Mosaic law while acquiring the reputation as a lawbreaker. He could be stabbed by sympathy for a stranger, yet turn on his best friend with a rebuke, "Get behind me, Satan." He fled from arrest at one point and marched toward it at another. His extravagant claims about himself kept him at the center of the controversy. But when he did something truly miraculous, he tended to hush it up. If Jesus had never lived, we would never have been able to invent him. Listen to me. The Jesus he discovered is the Jesus of the Bible, and it doesn't lie. He isn't simply the baby in the manger at Christmas time. He is that, but so much more. And that's the reason when we get together, I choose not to just stop with the baby in the manger, but to take you on a theological journey through a life that was like no other life, because it's that life that can transform our lives. No one else could say to us, "Follow me, I am the truth." No one comes to God except through me. Fair enough? Amen? Bow with me, will you? Bow with me. Sit very quietly. You may be among those who expected a little ditty about a baby in a manger, and then we all go home having sung a song or two, and that's it. Well, actually, you got a truckload today. You heard things you never knew before. Some of them are pretty convicting about your own lying, your own deceiving, your world of secrecy, the fact that you do often try to be someone you're not, or you do feel intimidated because you can't live up to someone else's opinions or expectations. See, what's missing from your life is the way, the truth, and the life. What you bought into is a philosophical system that leaves you bankrupt. And I'll tell you the worst part. You won't realize how far you are away from the truth until you take your last breath. Then it's too late. Too late. Then there's no second chance. There's no purgatory. There's no trial and error, and later I'll discover the error and I'll come back and rethink all of this. No, no, no. It's now or it's never. Make it now. Make this a real Christmas. Or you acknowledge that Jesus is what you were not and can offer what you can never earn. Trust him now. Believe in him. The real Jesus now. Today. Don't wait any longer. We have those in our ministry who have been trained to talk with you. They will talk with you without embarrassing you. They will answer your questions. They will assist you in understanding the gospel. And they will be there as you turn your life over to Christ. Trust him now. Dear Father, we thank you for Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you that at one point in our lives he got into our car and he drove us to the place where we needed to go. And he became for us at that moment the way. He modeled for us the truth, and he is for us the life. Thank you, Father, for not pulling any punches, for telling it straight, and leaving it with us to determine on our own what we will do with it. Help those who have not ever believed to believe today, to make this a Christmas like none other in their entire life. In the name of Christ, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Concluding a 3-day study called Jesus, the Gift of God's Truth, you're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. To hear any portion of this Christmas study again, you can find downloadable audio files or purchase CDs when you go to insightworld.org. And please keep listening because Chuck is here in the studio today. Over the last few years, we've had the privilege of hearing the live musical performances of the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra, where Chuck serves as senior pastor. Today, you're invited to purchase your copy of the featured music CD. In a moment, I'll explain how you can receive the entire one-hour concert on CD called He Is Born. So please be prepared to jot down our contact information. Chuck?
Okay, let's pause for a nostalgic moment. Think back to where you were in 1979. Can you recall the place you lived? How about the role you played back then? Or the job you held? 1979. That's when Insight for Living aired its first radio program in the United States. A brief 5 years later, we established a presence in Canada as well. And soon thereafter, we accepted multiple invitations to reach beyond our North American borders to many points on the globe. 40 years is a long time. And it's not uncommon for me to meet folks who tell me about listening to our program for 10, 20 years, sometimes 30, and a few up to almost 40 years. Some measure their family in Insight for Living years, as they call it. In fact, young adults often tell stories about hearing my voice while they were captive in their parents' car on their way to grade school. Well, with 4 decades behind us, I'm confident that our finest years lay ahead of us. My confidence is rooted in reality because God continues to use Insight for Living as a trusted source of Bible teaching. Matter of fact, thanks to new platforms for delivering our Bible teaching, such as the internet and mobile devices, our audience has grown many times over. Today, we're hearing from businessmen who consider Insight for Living their companion on the road while commuting to and from their appointments. We also hear from single moms who rely on our program to give them a strong foundation when the fierce storms of life are weathered all alone. Students say they appreciate the free access to study notes. And pastors tell me how they prepare their sermons based on something they heard through this program. And so, as we come to the end of another ministry year, I'm asking you to give generously, to fuel whatever God wants to accomplish through our ministry. Today, you can likely give what you were unable to do 20, 30, or more years ago. In any case, I can assure you that your gift of any size is urgently needed, and that your donation will truly make a difference as we declare the name that is above all names. Our goal is that every knee shall bow, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
To give your year-end donation today, just give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org/donate. The music you hear in the background is one of the orchestral tracks from the music CD I mentioned earlier, and you can purchase a copy right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Ask for the concert CD called He Is Born, and be sure to request expedited shipping. Last week, we had the privilege of spending a half hour with Chuck Swindoll. Chuck thoughtfully responded to a handful of personal questions in our allotment of radio time. Well, we've posted the entire unedited version online, which is more than 45 minutes in length. And you're welcome to listen right now by going to insight.org/askchuck. In closing, thank you for responding to Chuck's comments by giving a generous year-end donation. Once again, if you're listening in the U.S., the number to call is 1-800-772-8888. As another option, you might want to simply send us a text by using your mobile device. Just text the word INSIGHT to this easy-to-remember number, 555-888, or give online at insight.org/donate. Join us Wednesday when Chuck Swindoll explains the greatest expression of love ever given was the birth and death of Jesus. Listen Wednesday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Jesus, the Gift of God's Truth, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.